So a quick question for you before we move forward into our next part of learning different parts of prayer from Jesus. I'm curious if anyone, maybe one or two people, did anyone this last week find themselves praying differently in terms of what we talked about last week, your kingdom come, your will be done here as it is in heaven? I'm curious, is there anyone that had any experience in their prayer life this week about they were drawn to pray differently or their hearts were directed in a certain way that you'd like to share with us? Anybody? I'm going to give you about 30 seconds more to think as I share something that was different for me this week. But would invite someone else to come up too if you want to. I know for me, I don't know if you saw the news with the explosion that happened in Beirut this week, and what just hard to fathom video of that explosion and then all that happened. And knowing Karima, who's part of our church body, who's Lebanese and has family back in Lebanon, I think differently about Lebanon than I did before I met her. And so I watched that not with the eyes of just a fascinating news video, but through the eyes of the people that are there, people who are impacted by that. And I found myself this week praying, more specifically, may your kingdom come and may your will be done in Beirut and in Lebanon as it is in heaven. And I continue to pray for the Lebanese people and all that's happening. There's a lot of instability right now. But I pray through different eyes with knowing Karima and her family as well. But anybody else have something that they prayed for specifically this week that they'd like to share? All right, Joyce, why don't you come on up too? You can go after Randy.
One of the questions Paul asked us to consider last week was what kinds of things make us either angry or sad in the world. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit's been pointing out to me is how many of us carry hurts and wounds, maybe longer than we need to. We don't know how to receive healing from Jesus for those things. And this week there were a couple of times when I encountered that in people, and so in my prayer for those was that God's kingdom would come in the middle of their hurts here as it is in heaven, and particularly resonating with God's goodness for those people, his desire to bring healing to us.
Thanks, Randy.
I was just realizing from what they spoke about last week, I think what Randy said, that a lot of times I'm very anguished for the evil I see in the world, the injustice and the pain and the poverty, but I don't pray enough about those specific things. I think more I try to think what I can do, but I think as I pray about those things and the evil I see, that God can work, and then God can work in my heart. So,
thanks, Joyce.
After church on Sunday, in praying for kingdom or God's kingdom to come in our home and in our hearts and our community, I left here and I went to Table Grace. I wasn't expecting to stay as long as I did, but I'm glad that I did, because I ended up seeing two people, two faces, and two names from different contexts as guests at Table Grace. You don't know them, so they're first names. BJ is a woman that lives here downtown. I know her from a different context. She's been an inspiration to me, and I see God working through her, whether she claims to be a Christian or not. She's an older woman. She's a pillar of the downtown community, actually, and a guest at Table Grace. And then a guy named Josh, who I spent some time with. I'll tell you more about that later. But, yeah, these people, this man, this woman, came as guests to Table Grace. And through them, through their eyes, I could see God's kingdom working in them, in me, here.
That's good. Thanks, Brian. Thanks. Beautiful. Just want to continue to encourage us as we talk, as we pray, not just to have our prayers be confined to a Sunday morning time frame, but the invitation of Jesus for us to grow in our prayer life with him, of communing with him, of communicating with him, is for it to begin to work its way into all of life and all the days and all the time slots to be with him, to practice his presence, and to be praying for others as well. So I was challenged by a question that I either heard or read several months ago, but the statement was this: if everything that you prayed for this past week came to pass, like everything you prayed for happened as you prayed for it, what would be different? And that challenged me of like, wow, there's a lot of things that I actually do care about that I haven't bothered to put to words, that I haven't bothered to direct that to God. Have you asked God for anything this week? Right, not just to bless your food before you eat it, but have you made any requests to your Father in heaven? And the answer may be yes, a ton. Or maybe, you know what? I just have been kind of going. I just have kind of been living. I've just kind of been rolling it out. And earlier in our series, I made the observation that if all our prayer life is kind of rushing into God's presence and throwing our prayer list to him, our requests to God, and then running out, I made the observation that that's missing really the fuller, bigger picture of what prayer is. It misses out on so many forms of prayer, of just savoring his presence, of being with him, sitting with him, savoring the wondrous joy of being with God. And I still stand by that idea, that if all we do is run in and throw a crest and run out, then we miss something. But lest we pendulum swing ourselves silly, if we cut out our requests out of a life of prayer, then we gut prayer from being what it could be. So to be clear, prayer is much more than simply making requests of God, but it's never less than that. It involves us taking the things that are on our hearts and on our minds and bringing them before the Father because of the work of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine a relationship that you have, whether it's parent-child or within a marriage, or friends. Imagine a relationship where there are no requests being made. That just kind of goes with the relational territory, this idea of having petitions, this idea of having requests. So we do pray, as we talked about last week, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we're looking outward toward the world, outward toward others, and yet also in that, we're invited to ask for ourselves. There's a theologian named H.H. Farmer who said that petition is at the heart of prayer. And Jesus includes it when he teaches his disciples to pray. So if you have a Bible, you want to open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We've been kind of camping out in this section where Jesus is teaching his followers, he's teaching his disciples to pray. And we're just looking at some of the pieces that Jesus adds. This isn't meant to be exhaustive. There's other pieces of prayer. There's other parts of prayer that aren't mentioned here, but it's helpful to get and grab onto some of these things. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus says this. Jesus says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then here's the next line. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus encourages his followers, his disciples, to learn and utilize a prayer for daily bread. And he encourages us to ask. You know, when you listen to Jesus speak, he definitely doesn't discourage asking. If you just take him at his word, you have this sense that he's inviting us to ask more than we do. And again, I know there's more going on in all of these verses, but you just listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." John 14:14, Jesus says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus tells a couple parables. He tells one parable about this persistent widow who literally nagged the judge for justice. And she kept persistently asking the judge. And we're told in the story that she got what she was asking for because she kept bothering him. And there's this invitation to persistence in our asking. Or another story Jesus tells about a friend who goes to his neighbor's house around midnight and he asks to borrow bread. And even though it's late, and even though his kids are asleep, and even though it's really inconvenient, the neighbor gets up and gives him what he needs because of his persistent petition. So as Jesus' followers, or those who are learning to follow Jesus, we're invited to ask, to knock, to seek, and to pray this prayer for daily bread. Now, before we do some things interactively around this today, I want to highlight just two things about this idea of daily bread. I think it's maybe helpful to explore, first of all, the nature of daily bread, and then some of the roadblocks to our asking for it. So, I brought some bread, and if we were living in a non-COVID age, I'd pass it around and ask you to take a hunk of it, but I'm not going to pass it around because we're not going to spread things that way. But what are some of the things that you know and observe about bread as Jesus talks about praying for daily bread? Just about bread. What are some of the observations about bread?
It's good.
It's good. Great. Unless you are gluten-free. So maybe we need a gluten-free asterisk in the daily bread prayer. But what else about bread? It's good. It's filling. It tastes best on the day that it's baked. Okay.
It's good with butter.
It's good with butter. Yes, it is. What else do you know about bread? Observations about bread. Takes time to make? Any other thoughts about bread?
Short shelf life?
It's a wide variety.
Usually don't eat all of it.
You usually don't eat all of it?
Usually.
Okay.
Nourishing.
It's nourishing. What else?
White bread is better than wheat bread.
Okay. We may start a war here. Someone else said something over here.
It causes weight gain.
Yeah, if you eat too much of it. Any other thoughts about bread? Okay, so it doesn't just appear. It's an amalgamation of a different parts. Where do they eat bread? Yeah, pretty much everywhere, right? If you go anywhere around the world, you're going to get some variation of it. Why do you think that is?
Very simple.
It's simple. Usually pretty cheap to make. Filling. Yeah. Okay. So we got this good, simple, some different various forms of it kind of thing. And Jesus says, as you pray, pray for daily bread. So a couple things about the nature of daily bread. If we're praying for daily bread, it means that we're focusing, first of all, on our needs and not necessarily all of our wants. And I know that can be hard sometimes to differentiate, especially if you're a person who doesn't know what you want. But this idea of a prayer for daily bread is a prayer for our needs, which in some ways maybe distinguishes this kind of prayer from what's known in some circles as the prosperity gospel, or kind of a name it and claim it kind of version of Christianity, where, you know, this idea of give us today our daily bread is not necessarily a prayer for steak. It's a prayer for bread. It's not necessarily a prayer for the latest, greatest car, or if I just name that I want to get rich, or if I name that I want to have a massive vacation to a tropical destination, that if you ask for that, then God is necessarily going to give you all the things that you want. And that treats God kind of like a genie, that if you rub the lamp and say the right words, then all the things that you ask for were going to happen. That's not daily bread prayer. Daily bread prayer is this idea, this petition that focuses on the common needs that we have to live. Also, as was mentioned about bread, daily bread prayer focuses on the present and not necessarily the past or the future. Now, it's not a bad thing to pray for your future, weeks, months, years out, but daily bread prayer focuses on the present, daily bread. And I'm highly confident that Jesus, when he was telling this and teaching this, that he's tipping his hat to the story of daily bread from the book of Exodus, Exodus 16, the story of manna. Right, when God delivered his people out of bondage in Egypt, they're traveling through the wilderness and they're hungry and they're complaining about this idea. They want to go back to Egypt and they want some different food. And God, in his rich mercy and provision, what does he do? He literally rains down bread from heaven. And the people of Israel would wake up each day to find the ground covered with these little wafers. And they called that literally, what is it? They didn't know what it was, or manna. And God fed his people, keeping them alive in the middle of this harsh, hot terrain. But if you go back and you read the story again, God told them, only pick up what you need for the day. And each person in the household was allowed to get an omer, which is about 3 pounds of manna. And they weren't supposed to get bread for tomorrow or the next day, unless it was the day before the Sabbath. They were allowed to pick up the day, the provision for the Sabbath. But they weren't allowed to stockpile and hoard the manna. Otherwise, it would rot and have worms and all of that. God said, I want to provide for you your daily bread. So, in many ways, this idea of praying for daily bread focuses us on the present, focuses us on a need, and that it also focuses us on the simple. And there are plenty of times in our lives where we pray the big, massive, miraculous, over-the-top, big-time prayer. And there's plenty of needs across planet Earth that are the massive prayers. But daily bread prayer focuses on the simple, the ordinary, and the mundane. Physical needs, emotional needs, relational needs, mental needs. Give us today our daily bread. And again, just so I also mention to you, as the way the prayer is listed here, give us this day our daily bread. This is also a plural idea too, so it's not just me and mine. There's a concern for the daily bread for others around us as well. Jesus, again, is inviting us and showing us here that the Father welcomes us and wants us to engage him this way. So, if daily bread prayer is that, if it's simple, it's in the present, it's about around our need, then what are some of the roadblocks for us of not asking for daily bread? I just thought of a couple, even in talking with some others. Here are a few possibilities. For you, sometimes maybe praying for daily bread feels selfish. And you may think, you know what, there's so much else going on out there. Why bother God with the stuff that I need? So you may feel selfish and reluctant to pray about your needs, to pray about your daily bread. Or you may have this sense in which you have to perform for God to earn enough for him to want to give things to you. That could be a real roadblock. I don't think it should be true. But it definitely can be there, that you feel selfish in praying for daily bread. Others may feel silly about it. Again, you can think about the big, big things, but when it comes to the simple and the obvious and the mundane, you're like, I don't even need to bother about that one. Those things are just they're too obvious, they're too simple, they're too insignificant, so praying for daily bread can feel silly. But my guess is that for most people, the reason why we don't pray and ask and seek and knock the way that Jesus invites us to is because it feels scary. And it reminds me of the Charlie Brown and Lucy Peanuts cartoon where she calls Charlie Brown to run up and kick the football, and she keeps pulling it away. And so he becomes very reluctant to want to go kick the football again. And sometimes I think that that's the stuff that informs our prayer, where we end up having lots of disappointments around other unanswered prayers, or at least prayers that haven't been answered in the way that we wanted them to be answered. And so there's real pain, and there's real hurt, and there's real disappointment that says, you know what, I'm not even going to bother asking anymore because I've already asked about these things and it hasn't happened, and so therefore I'm reluctant to ask. And so it feels scary. I had a friend in high school. He didn't believe in God because he said when he was younger, he prayed for his grandma who was dying. And he wanted to see her one last time before she died. And so his shot at prayer was, God, let me see my grandma before she dies. And he's on his way to go visit his grandma, and she died before he got there. And so therefore he said, God does not exist. I'm not going to talk to a God like that who wouldn't let me see my grandma. Right? Praying for safety may feel outlandish for someone who's been abused. Like, well, he didn't take care of me there and then, so therefore I'm reluctant to ask now. Praying for a child seems scary for those who are infertile or those who have miscarried, and the wounds feel too fresh. I just want to name that we all have our disappointments that we carry into prayer. And yet somehow holding that in the same way with Jesus, who says, keep on asking and keep on knocking and keep on seeking. For your Father knows the needs that you have before you even ask them. And I remind you too, as we have this prayer for daily bread, there's this passage in John 6. I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to move into some time together here. John chapter 6, verse 32. To those who may feel scared or selfish or silly, Jesus says this. Again, there's a conversation where others were talking about bread. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so there's this built-in reminder, I believe, that even as we have bread, eat bread, pray for bread, that there's this reminder built into that prayer for daily bread that ultimately all of our longings and all of our desires and all of our needs and all of those things that are going on deep within us is a longing and desire for Jesus. And Jesus is the true bread from heaven that the Father has already given to us. And that's not meant to minimize the other needs that we have, but it's meant to acknowledge that underneath, as the foundation of all those needs that you have, is ultimately the need for Jesus. And the Father has given him already. The Father has given him to you, his life, his presence, his goodness, his grace. And this even request for daily bread is also a request for a daily encounter with Jesus. Give us today the bread. Give us today the bread from heaven. Give us today Jesus, who meets our very needs. Because God the Father has responded in the most lavish of ways by offering the bread from heaven, the true satisfaction of our hunger and the true quencher of our thirst. And if he has given us Jesus, the true bread, won't he also offer us and give to us the other things too? So I'm going to invite Tom and Hillary to come up here. And we're going to sing a song first. And then I want us just to do first a little processing around this idea of what stands in the way of us and our request for daily bread. But let's go ahead and sing and offer ourselves to the Lord again.
Trust my Savior Jesus when my darkest doubts befall. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. I will trust my Savior Jesus. Trust Him when my strength is small, for I know the shield of Jesus is the safest place of all. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust You more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever Yours. Trust my Savior Jesus. He has said His way is best, and I know the path He's chosen leads to everlasting rest. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust You more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever Yours. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust You more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever Yours. Oh, on that cross, how it was seen. I can go now, ever trusting in the One who died for me. What could I bring? For Your gift is complete. So I'll trust You, simply trust You, Lord, with every part of me. Seen. I can go now, ever trusting in the One who died for me. What could I bring? For Your gift is complete. So I'll trust You, simply trust You. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust You more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever Yours. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more and more. Jesus, only Jesus, may my heart be ever yours. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
So I want to invite you to come up to the mic. I think we have it still on here. And this first part, we're going to do this in two parts. The first part really isn't even a matter of you praying, but I'd be curious to hear from us as a community. What are the roadblocks for us that keep us from asking for daily bread? So if you wanted to use kind of the phrase, you say, for me, asking for our daily bread seems, again, you can use the ones that I provided, it seems selfish, or it seems scary, seems silly, or you can add something else. For me, asking for daily bread seems this because of, and as much as you're willing to share, I mean, not like a half an hour long, but as much detail as you want to give as far as, yeah, maybe it seems scary for me because of things that I've asked for in the past, if you want to name those things, or it seems silly because of this. But yeah, what are the things going on that keep us from asking, from praying for our daily bread from the Father? I invite you to come and share. Come on up. You move first.
I was thinking about that just as we were going to worship there, and I'm not sure if it counts for selfishness or if it's shame, really, but I would say that one thing that is a recurring theme for me when asking for prayer or asking for daily bread is that, you know, God has given me so much more than daily bread, and I've wasted it, I've done wrong with it. I've screwed it up again. And here I am again with this need for sustenance. And so to ask for that daily bread, sometimes there's a lot of shame that goes that I have to get over to get to that.
Yeah. Thanks for naming that, Brian. I know you're not alone in that. Come on up.
For me, sometimes asking for a daily bread is hard because it feels so insignificant for compared to everything else I could be asking for.
Thanks.
This doesn't sound very good, but I don't ask for daily bread because I don't think I need it. I've got it. I can take care of myself. I don't think to ask God for that.
Thanks, Luke. Jeremy.
Sometimes I fail to ask for the daily bread because it feels kind of monotonous and transactional sometimes, just like, you know, it's almost just like, you know, standing in line at the soup kitchen or something like that, where you're like, okay, I need it again, like always, you know, so that it almost sometimes can lose a personal relational feel because of the monotony and because of my neediness too, and the amount that I have to ask sometimes, I get weary of it. So.
Thanks, Jeremy.
asking for daily bread seems unfair when I already have so much and there are so many people who have so little.
Asking for daily bread can seem scary because once I open that door and start the conversation, I never know what else is going to come up and how long I'll be in there and what my emotions will be.
Asking for daily bread is not something I'm prone to do because I like to provide for myself and I like to control life, and there's definitely some trust issues there where I don't trust, because of things, you know, that have happened in my life, I don't trust God with things. I wonder if I give it over and leave the day up to Him, I might have different preferences. So
thanks, Tom.
A hindrance in asking for daily bread is the fear that it could be as simple as, here is a little sourdough loaf roll, or, okay, get ready, because you're about to have a conveyor belt of bread. And as a person who likes to have plans and schedules, opening up to God and asking for daily bread, you go in with the, I'm ready for a sourdough roll. And God's like, haha, I'm going to bless you more than that today.
I struggle with knowing what to do with desire and how to bring that to God. And I think that that can get in the way of asking for needs, because I'm not sure where the intersection is between desire and need. Particularly when I feel like I have an abundance. And what Paul quoted a verse earlier, that our Father knows what we need before we ask, that just prompted me to ask the question, God, how do I ask you what I need so that I pray for that?
Anybody else want to share? Thank you guys for doing that. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to have anybody else come up to name all of these things, but we're going to do something that's called, we've done a version of this before, palm down, palm up. And so I'm going to ask you at first to do palms down, which is an act of surrender and release. And so if you feel comfortable doing this, again, our bodies help us engage God this way. What we're going to say first, Jesus, I release to you these things that are the barriers, again, that we've named, and everyone has named them in different forms, whether it's shame that I'm carrying, or whether it's the silliness, or it seems too small, or it seems scary, whatever it is for you, again, just between you and God, would you be willing just to put your hands and say, I'm going to release that to you today, Jesus. And then there's this other story in the Gospels where Jesus encounters a guy named Bartimaeus, and he's blind. And when Jesus comes up to him, he asks him this question. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, who's blind, what do you want me to do for you? Which seems ridiculous that Jesus would even have to ask him. But I think there's a lot of things going on as to why Jesus asked a blind man, what do you want me to do for you? There's this invitation from God for us to be able to name back to him, this is actually what I want you to do. So I encourage you now to put your hands up, your palms up. And like Bartimaeus, we get to ask. If Jesus were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? And you can say, Jesus, today I need. And you can just say it to him right now. Having released the stuff that gets in the way to him, now I say, Jesus, this is the daily bread I need today. Would you just express that to him right now? Jesus, I need. And it could be a physical thing. It could be an emotional thing. It could be a mental thing, a relational thing. Jesus, this is what I need today. And I receive it from you. And then let's sing our last song together. And if you're willing to stand, you can stand. Put yourself in a posture to worship Jesus today.